The people are saved. And as I was thinking and preparing and praying about it, I had no inspiration whatsoever what to preach on, what to tell you about. And so it was a very short sermon. I think I've gotten an idea more or less this morning, and during the night I was restless because I still haven't had a main trust, and I like to have a main clear trust theme of the sermon. But hey, sometimes you have to trust the Lord, and whatever may come out of my mouth this morning may be inspired by His Holy Spirit. There are moments like that in ministry that whatever I prepare doesn't seem to be working or to seem right. But I rely fully on the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me just pray now, because I can only do it with His strength and with His power. Father, I pray that as we have reached this incredible moment in the story of Esther, You will, just stretch Your scepter of grace towards me and towards the people here, that we may hear You this morning and not a million through this story. We want to shush and hear the Holy Spirit speaking to each one of us. We want to hear the small little voice that comes and says, I am your God and I have a purpose for you. Lord, would you speak to us this morning through this book yet again? May we touch the center of your grace today. Your forgiveness, and may our lives be transformed by it. Our hearts be fully changed, because we have seen the Lord this morning. We have been in His presence, because we have been with you. We have been in the holies of holies, in the throne, and we touch the throne and the robe of your grace today. This is our desire, Father. You speak to us in this very few moments through your Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of Esther, it's so fascinating. It's really incredibly encouraging to see that God is in control. That God has a plan and a purpose for His people. And in spite of whatever goes around the world, everything that is evil, everything that is wrong, we know that God has a purpose in and through everything. And He still reigns, and He is the God above all other gods. We all come to moments in time when we have to make difficult decisions. It is known that we make about 7 to 70 decisions, listen to that, every 5 minutes. Whether, you know, it's about ourselves, about comfort, whether to eat, whether to drink, whether to breathe, or whether to look left or right or straight ahead, or we make decisions all the time. Stay say between 70 and about 70 every 5 minutes or so. And we come to a moment in time when we sometimes are called by God to make huge decisions. Whether it's about life, whether it's about marriage, whether it's about a new job, whether it's about a new partner, whether it's about a new wife, new spouse, whatever it is, new car, new house, new mortgage, whatever it is, we come at moments of times like this when we have to make huge, huge decisions. And it's not easy. Usually are very risky, usually are very highly maintenance. You have to work hard at them once you make that decision. It usually costs. Everything that we do in life affects us or other people. Every decision that we make, every word that we speak, everything that we do has a cause and effect on other people. Chapter 4 of Esther closed with the famous words of this incredible book. Oh, are we okay on the... Oh, praise the Lord. See, oh, wow, we are okay on the main computer. Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Lord. We are back. Up to now, we had the Kevin's computer, so yeah, it's good. All is good. Thank you, Father. I feel encouraged. And this is the last words of chapter 4. Go get it. That comes from Esther's mouth, her lips. All the Jews who are in Susa, all the Jews. The record at that time, there are about 70,000 Jews. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. night or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I can just hear in my heart, in my soul, the applaud of heaven once those words were completely uttered and sent back to Mordecai, to her cousin who brought her up in the knowledge of the Lord, with fear of the Lord. It is out as a result of 20, 25 years. We don't know exactly how old she was at that time when she spoke these words, but it's the result of 20, 25 years of Mordecai bringing her up in the fear of the Lord. The sheer moment of crucial time of making a huge decision that she knew very well it will cost her life. She says, you do what I say to you. And what I'm going to say to you is something more than I, that you have taught me over the years as a little girl. Let's pray and fast before we make any decisions. And that's what Esther tells them back. Go and tell that guy, go and tell my uncle, my cousin Mordecai, that the whole of the people must pray and fast with me. And if they do that, I'm going to see the king. I'm going to say hello to him. I'm going to go into the holies of holies. And if I perish, I perish. Let God's will be done. And I was saying to you last week that this is a moment that we all have to come as disciples of Jesus in our time when we need to make a decision like that. Where there's a full surrender in obedience to the Lord. And once we do that, blessing will follow. The favor and the flavor and the fragrance that we've been prepared with so long, it will come forth. To not only transform us, but transform other lives. And who knows, save a nation. Save a nation. And I told you about the power of one person or even one vote, that the difference that can make in our lives. And it reminds me of Rudyard Kipling poem, If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I just so love so much that poem by Rudyard Kipling. Stand alone, no matter the cost, proclaims Kipling. Stand alone, no matter what the cost is. That's why we love Esther. Because she decided to stand alone and say, whatever it costs, I'm going to do it. If I perish, I perish. I think we love that kind of heroes. We love that kind of people who will go alone, on their own, against the trend and the flow of the whole societies or businesses or beliefs and so on. We admire that kind of people, especially in the Western world. On 18 April 1521, Martin Luther, the great German theologian, was tried for his free speech and open mind with regard to the grace of God that was given to everybody and to the fact that everybody now can read the scripture, not just the priests, and interpret it to the masses. And he stood very much for that. And then he was taken for trial because he was considered a heretic. You couldn't say that and just get away with it. So when they told him that, are you going to denounce all these words? Are you going to give up on this stuff, or what you pronounced so far, and what you're beginning to teach? You look at the court and the judge is there. He turns toward the judges, towards the court, and he says, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." That's all he said. And all they could do to him was just excommunicate him from the grave, the great Catholic Church at the time. And then, of course, he founded the Lutheran one. Would you have the courage to stand alone when called to fulfill your purpose that God has given you? I was thinking about us and the Ridge the last few weeks, tormented, you know, and we had 5 years of incredible ministry there, good time and bad times, I must say. But also, now we come to a halfway of that. We had 5 years of incredible ministry done with a huge commitment of the people who worked so hard there. Huge commitment from you who've prayed and pay financially to support that ministry and also play when there to be with people and help in whatever ways. And is the next step in our journey with God is a step of risk taking for another 5 years what we think the Lord might be saying to us. And I was very much into, not that I don't want this mission and ministry to carry on, I do very much so, but I wanted a confirmation from the Lord. And I had a few throughout the week, but one of the most powerful, I think it was, this morning with risk taking by the talk that Debbie did, but also it was yesterday when James Ellershaw, just at the men's breakfast, just a normal, you know, mundane breakfast for men where you just come and eat good food prepared by Kevin and pray and go home. And I expected nothing else from that. But then he spoke from Jonah. He spoke from Jonah, how God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Because he has the compassion for the people. And that really touched my heart so deeply. I went home and I cried. Because the vision that God has given us, it is costly and it's pricey and it takes risks. And I needed to hear God's word because it's always praying throughout the week. And God spoke to me through that guy yesterday. And I was thinking, oh, he's only a builder. So powerfully. Mother Teresa was in the, I think in the 80s, they called her to the Congress in America because the then president was very much for abortion. And so the Congress, the 200 people or whatever, how many people are in the Congress there, they were very much for Congress, for abortion. And the president said, well, what can she tell us that will change our mind? There is nothing that this woman can say to us that will change our minds. And that she was still frail at the time, Mother Teresa just stood up and she said, just give me your babies. Give them, every single one of them. Give them to me. Give me your babies. And I shut them up completely. And the law of abortion there was dealt with in a godly way. Just for one woman standing up for the truth of God's purpose in her life and God's kingdom in her heart. Send me your babies. C.S. Lewis said that in order to fulfill God's purpose, we must be a person or persons with chest. Basically, translated in today's language, with guts. You really have to have some guts in order to see somehow God at work and his purposes in our lives. There is a very big break between chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Esther. There is a time of silence, there is a time of waiting. There are 3 days of praying and fasting. The most important 3 days in Esther's life, completely. Most powerful days in her life, are literally facing life or death. There is a pause where Esther is asking the people to fast and pray. 3 days in which Esther goes to draw on the source of her strength. She goes to meet God in prayer. I told you, God is not mentioned in the books of this thing. This is the only time and is the only religious language that you will see in the book. Fast and pray. And she takes those 3 days very seriously. And she goes and prays. But she does something else. Because usually we think when we go to fast and pray, we just sit in bed, do nothing and moan all the time. But what she does, she goes and prepares a party in order to invite the king to attend to. This book is full of parties, incredible parties. I'll come back to that thought in a minute. But during this time of waiting, I imagine Esther, if she had Isaiah, she would have quoted this verse. But Isaiah wrote these words after Esther's happenings, during the Babylonian captivity, not the Persian. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40. Incredible verse. It talks about renew their strength. They gain new strength, those who wait on the Lord. 3 days of prayer and fasting, we exchange our weakness for His strength. We need that, because humanly speaking, it's impossible to tackle a task and a purpose and a mission and a vision that God gives us on our own ability and clever schemes and visions. We need His strength and the ministry of His Spirit. Humanly speaking, we never dreamt of a rich vision unless God steps in and fulfills His purposes in and through us. 5 years ago, and probably 5 years from now on, if we feel that this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a church. If we wait 3 days in prayer and fasting, if we wait on the Lord, we'll learn to soar on eagle's wing. We get a better perspective, because when we are up there like the eagles, we see better the ground. We see better what God is doing. 3 days waiting on the Lord gives us a new perspective on His purposes and His vision and His work for us. 3 days waiting on the Lord and praying and asking His advice and His will gives us energy. Run and not grow weary. Run and not grow weary. I always dream of that verse literally. I don't like running anyway, but and I get weary all the time, not even running. But this is what waiting on the Lord gives us. When trouble comes, we renew our energy for that. And finally, we walk and not be faint. We get strength, and we get strength for our perseverance to run the race, to go to the Nineveh that God sent us in order to fulfill His purposes. The Lord speaks reassurance to us while we pray and while we fast. Will you as a church join me in fast and praying before the 25th of February to seek together God's will on this? I don't want to just come on the 25th standing up here and saying clever visions and try to persuade you to pay money to support a vision that we have for the region or whatever. I want the Holy Spirit to come and show us that what we do, it is fulfilling His purposes for our generation, for such a time as this, for us as a church, and the rich will be part of it, as long as it is our ministries that we already have. I want the Holy Spirit to come and tell us, not a pastoral voice or whoever. Are you at a crossroads in life waiting for the Lord to make a decision? Because of this interview with God, Esther is able to fulfill her God-given purpose to step into the presence of the king calmly, wisely, and confidently. It wasn't because she was beautiful, or she might have been, and because she dressed in the beautiful robes that I'm sure she has, because that's what attracted the king first. May us, the secret of her strength, the secret of her fulfilling God's purpose in her life is because she spent 3 days to the heart of the King of Kings before she went to meet the other king, the human one. That seems so impossible, strategically, humanly speaking, vision to fulfill. She would be killed. But because she spent the time with the King of Kings, she now with confidence went ahead and said, okay, I will be going, even if the scepter will not be stretched towards me. On the third day, Esther put on the royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance, so he could see her. He could see her. This was absolutely criminal, suicidal for Esther, to sit there and be seen by the king. When he saw Queen Esther standing, she wasn't even trying to be humble or anything. Why is she standing? Personally, I think because of the 3 days spent again with the King of Kings, full of confidence, knowing that this is the hour, the time, the vision that the Lord has called her for to fulfill her purpose. It is now or never. I will stand. And if I perish, I perish. And she did. And she did. Stand calmly, calm, cool, and collected, as we call it. And he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Grace given, favor received, forgiveness was the main ingredient of Esther standing. I want you to, if you got your Bibles, because we haven't got outlines, but I want you to write this verse in your Bible alongside that verse in Esther chapter 5. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who pleases him. This is Proverbs 21, verse 1. The book of Esther is about God being in control of everyone and everything, as he was then, he still is today. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water. His purposes will be fulfilled. He could be King Ash, the most powerful, the most clever, and the angriest man on earth, the most feared man on earth. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. Another thing, and another secret of Esther's power was that when the king says to her, okay, tell me what's your problem, and I'll give you half the kingdom. Esther doesn't want the kingdom. She wants the king. Because she knows that if he gets the king, the kingdom is hers. Fully hers. Another thing that we learn as we journey through this in the last few weeks, that we want God rather than his benefits and his blessings. We want the King of Kings and intimacy with him. When he saw Queen standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out the gold scepter, touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked her, what is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even after half the kingdom, it will be given to you. She could have taken her revenge right now, right there. But Esther doesn't deal with the problem. The problem was Haman trying to kill the Jews. She doesn't deal with the problem. What a clever woman. She deals with the solution. I want something else from this. I want something bigger than this. I want you, the king, And she's very clever. Oh, amazing. Only a woman can do this. If it pleases the king, replied Esther, come for a coffee. Let's have a party. Why don't you come for a coffee? Let's have a chat together. Led the king together with Haman, that's the enemy. I would have, you know, if I were Esther, I would have poured out. Now I've got the favor from him, I would have told him, oh, do you know what this guy Haman is done? Do you know what this guy is trying to do? Do you know who those guys are? My people, and he's trying to kill them? Kill them. That's what would have been my reaction. But Esther says, well, let's have a coffee first that I have prepared for him. She already prepared. Remember the 3 days of fasting and praying. During those 3 days, she prepared the coffee ready for the king to come and attend to it. And now she issues that invitation. Why don't you come for the coffee? Let's have a party. And the book of Esther is full of that. How did the book of Esther start? With a party. When was the previous queen been replaced? During a party, during a banquet. When did Haman spoke to the king against the Jews? During a party, during a banquet. When was Esther recognized as a queen? During a banquet. Parties after parties after parties. While she has been fasting, Esther prepared another party. Esther planned a party because expected God to do the unexpected. That's why she prepared it. Because for the first time we see how much she trusts God to do the impossible ever. And God's name is not mentioned. But she wants a party for the king and the other guy, Haman, to attend it. Esther would not have gone into the king's presence without a good reason. As they sit together at the party, the king raises the question again. As they were drinking wine, the king asks her, okay, so now tell me, what is your problem? What is your request? Even after half the kingdom, you'll be granted. Esther replied, my petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor and if pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to another party. I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question. Esther prepares yet another party for the next day. One more day. As Haman leaves the party, he adds his dressing gown of pride, of excellence, of arrogance, of incredible foolishness. And I hope that you can see the two opposing characters here, quite opposite in what they display throughout this chapter and throughout the story of Esther. On one side, you have Esther and the Jewish people in prayer. And the other side, you have Haman, who was proud of himself, who's trying to kill those Jewish people who are in prayer. A man who was boasting about himself, his incredible accolades, attributes, what he's achieved, and wherever he was as a prime minister. And pride in the end of the day takes the best of him. It is pride in the end of the day that kills him. It is not Esther or the king. It is pride. Haman was so infuriated that he couldn't even enjoy his wealth and good fortune. Why? Because of this one guy, Mordecai. Because he leaves the party with Esther and the king. He gets out of the castle and Mordecai is there again in the court. He passes Mordecai. Mordecai doesn't bow down to him to worship him. He can't stand it again. But this time he refrained himself. And he goes home and tells his wife. And his wife in the end, you know, tells him what to do. Oh, you already built a gallon for him, one of those things to kill him. Why don't you use that? That's how the chapter ends. let's get back to where we started with problems. Both Esther and Haman had a problem. Both were closer to the king than anyone else, and both had a great deal of family and friends supporting them. But they responded differently to their problems, and that response made all the difference in their success. Esther humbled herself. Haman honored himself. Esther prayed. Haman prayed, P-R-E-Y. Esther pleaded. Haman plotted. What do you do when faced with life struggles? Do you trust God to deal with it? Do you try to deal with the problem? Or are you trying to find a solution? Problems will always come. In Esther's case, we learned that she's found a way in which to deal with a solution and to trust God to deal with a bigger picture of the purposes for which he has called her for such a time as this, for such a place to serve him in. And so two things that we learn from the story with which I close is pray before you play. Pray before you make a decision. Pray and fast if you can. When you're at the crossroads of your life, it might be a change of ministry. It might be a change of completely different path that you want to take in life, in whatever it is, work, family relationships, whatever. Pray and seek the Lord's face so that you may be able to stand in front of the enemy, and even at that time, the scepter of God's grace to be stretched out to you. And plan before you stand the search. That's why I love Esther. She's a woman after all. She will do 7 things at one time. She will cook a casserole while she is praying and fasting. She will make the coffee. I love that. Because usually when we think about praying and fasting, we just, as I said, we go into a moaning mode. But she is preparing her heart, preparing the way ahead for the word to fulfill, for the Lord to fulfill his purposes. Plan before you stand before the king in order to fulfill his purpose for you, for others. And as I say, who knows? Even for a nation. Even for the nations. Let's just pray.